There's a man on the wing of this plane.
This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Listeners, you're in for a super special treat. All four hosts of the Indie Comic Book Noise are here right now to regale you with tales of adventures far and wide. All four hosts, you say, who is that? Me, Andrew the LA Rabbit. Balancing out the United States portion is Super Steve from the bunker. Say hi, Steve.
Hey, I'm glad to still be considered a host. It's like, I kind of feel like Chevy Chase coming back to SNL to host and pissing Bill Murray off or something when I come back. Not on enough.
Indie Comic Book Noise is always your home away from home. And then ever-present steady forces on the tiller from north of the border, from way north of the border, in the Arctic Circle, from the icebox, it's WWX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
It's the autumn chill season.
Yes, well, down here, summer breeze continues, and from the nation's capital, the fully fortified Otter's Den. Phil, how are you doing?
Well, my dog has diarrhea, so if she gives me that look like an empty bottle of ketchup about to squeeze out, I got her drop everything. So if I disappear, that's why.
Well, maybe we need a code word for that in the future, Phil.
It'll probably be something like shit.
Not to paint such a word picture in the listeners' minds.
Anticipation.
Indie Comic Book Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network, where you can hear all kinds of awesome shows, including Marvel Noise, which recently celebrated its 400th episode, folks. That's no joke. That's a serious accomplishment. We tip our hats to the show for that accomplishment. We wish we could be sooner, because I'm sure this show is going to come out in like 6 months or whatever, but congrats, guys. Steve, do you want to take a round of applause?
Oh, yeah. I'm just soaking it in right now. It's 15 years, though. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that ain't nothing. From humble origins to now the mighty juggernaut. Indie Comic Book Noise has show notes and old episodes at our website, IndieComicBookNoise.com. Check it out before Kevin corrupts the whole thing. You can find us on social media, Twitter, IndieComicBookN, Facebook fan page, blah, 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 blah. We talk about whatever we want. We have a disclaimer at the beginning, but that's only because we don't want people shocked by graphic descriptions of dog diarrhea.
Yeah, never anything controversial. Like, we would never suggest anything controversial, like
right on
people
cue,
being too interested in things that don't affect them.
I'll be back.
There we go.
I originally thought maybe I can find some clever way to edit around it, but I think we're stuck with this as episode 5.
Sirens are going off. Woo, woo, woo. Red alert, red alert. Everything's bathed in red, blinking red like the inside of the starship.
I'd suggest some sort of giveaway, but I think that would not be appropriate given the circumstances. But here we are, folks, with all four hosts back in the saddle. I was thinking perhaps when Phil chooses to rejoin us, we will have round two of our exciting random blind bag 90s trading card extravaganza. Yes, and he was at it again, sending mysterious packages to people across the border and the border of New York State.
This is the coolest stunt ever, I just gotta say. And it's, yeah, I mean, partially, well, all right, heavily because, like, we're getting free cool trading cards out of this. But it's just, this is a fun exercise in stepping back to those fun days of the 90s when trading cards were still affordable.
Yeah, I'm glad. I was a little bit nervous that one time the postal inspectors are going to rumble me. But Kevin, yours showed up relatively unmolested.
Yep, as best as you can expect.
Yeah, I'm always waiting for the Royal Canadian Mail to knock down my door. Blast me with maple syrup cannons.
Hey, while we wait for Phil, can I tell you about an awesome indie comic book creator that I have? Yeah, I mean, I've discovered. He's now discovered because I finally know about him. but I just recently got a Kickstarter package from Thane Benson that you can look up on ThaneBenson.com. And he just had another Kickstarter that I just did. And it looks like he's doing these every 2 months or so for this project called Quick, the Clockwork Knight. And it's a really cool thing. It is like it's on a giant piece of newspaper newsprint, right? So already it's a giant thing that feels really familiar in your hand. It's all folded up, though, in a 7x5-inch form. And it's a mini comic, and each plane has a little number on it. And as you open it up, the numbers increase, as does the panel size. And you continue to unfold it until it eventually becomes a giant 28x20 panel that then has some massive image with... I mean, don't want to spoil it too much, but there's usually some sort of really kinetic fluid thing that's happening over the big image, almost like remember those old Family Circus newspaper strips where it would have like the kid going on the adventure and there'd be the dotted lines and the whole thing is just one big mosaic panel, but you're following his little path through and around the tree and up and through the window and over here and through the grocery store and getting some candy or whatever on his way to what was supposed to be a simple walk to school or something, right? So it does that kind of a thing. And the first one was the Iron Dragon. And then the second was Hooked, which related to a big fish. And the third was entitled Inferno, that has yet to be published. And what's really cool is because it's newsprint and it folds up to 7x5, he can mail them out in this like a little manila envelope and it doesn't need a backing board or anything. And he can save money on his expenses that way and make this thing just about as indie as you can get. It's really cool. You got to go to ThaneBenson.com and check out some of his work. I even got a piece of original art ordered for this next Kickstarter, a little pinup of this cool little Quick the Clockwork Knight dude fighting a monster. This guy's monsters are awesome. He comes up with these crazy monsters that are in silhouette or have more details on them that are really fun stuff.
Thane's awesome. I got a Doctor Strange commission. Listeners of the show can check out
Wow. Previous
episodes. Episode 425, 453, and 493. Where I talk about various Kickstarters of his. In fact, I enjoy, he did a 3D comic with the Quick character. He also did a Choose Your Own Adventure. He just really...
Very cool.
As Steve described, he just has fun with the medium doing these different things. Like I said, the 3D and the Choose Your Own Adventure, where it was kind of each different panel. I think that's the one that I stumbled on, and I love that. So since then... Yeah, I always back his stuff and get all kinds of weird. I recommend sketches or anything from him in general. But yeah, he's a Kickstarter regular, and I have no problem. I've backed, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 of these things, and always delivered, no problems. I can unreserve. I haven't ordered anything directly from his website. I've just done the Kickstarter thing. But I have no reason to doubt that doesn't work, too.
What's like, cool?
I'll wait for Kickstarter.
You know, on these last Kickstarter and the most recent one, he gives you the opportunity to get the other Clockwork Knight issues at least the fold-up ones, because it'll all fit in that same size package, right, without adding too much weight. These are great. And the amount of vibrant color that he's able to pull off printing on this old newsprint is also remarkable. Like, these are really colorful comic books with, you know, this really is doing a nice job not only with the background blends, but the objects all really popping off of each other. It's like the way comics should be. Really fun.
Yeah, and I get a bit of a vibe, almost, not quite as extreme dichotomy, but it reminds me a little bit of like a Gru Roferto with the monkey. Like, Quick is very kind of, all right, get stuck in, and the monkey seems a little bit smarter than he is. But yeah, those are the two main characters, and they're always getting in various and sundry mischief. And yeah, like I said, the 3D is fun. They're, and the Choose Your Own Adventure so far have been my favorite. But these foldable ones are good.
Oh, too. I got to get these.
The envelope art, and there's all kinds of different add-ons and options if you feel like it.
This dude's cool.
You know, speaking of Kickstarters, there's a bad idea Kickstarter going around. Funded in 7 minutes. That's wild.
Yeah, they got a lot of fans. I mean, it's that old core of the revivaled Valiant crew, I believe.
I thought it was kind of funny that you could add your name to the petition that they'll put up, but New York Comic Con to stop Bad Idea. I mean, $20 is probably a bit too much for that kind of tier, but for a dollar, I'm like, that's a good gag, I think.
Yeah, why not? That's been their whole marketing thing, has been more their focus. We've covered some of the books. I thought the books were fine, but I just don't, I don't know. I guess I don't have a lot of room.
I saw a lot of people complaining that they're more like movie pitches.
Why not? Hey, that's where the money's at, right? All right, boys, you want to open some cards? Is now a good time?
Heck yeah.
All right. I sent everybody. What started Andy buying a bunch of crazy cards was the Jim Shooter's post-Valiant work. We've covered some of the different titles. There hasn't been too much, but what I was curious about was the Dark Dominion because of the Steve Ditko connection. And then when I found out they did a bunch of trading cards, I was like, whoa. Now do I just buy all the trading cards, or do I buy unopened packs? And like a fool, I decided to buy unopened packs. And then once you're buying from these eBay cats, like, it's the shipping that kills me. So I'm like, well, let's throw in a bunch of other crap, too. And I kept throwing it in and kept throwing it in. So I particularly like these now. The River, it's the Defiant is the publisher that did all this stuff. And we covered some of the comics. I was a little perplexed. There was the lawsuit with Marvel Comics over one of the titles. And I remember remarking that I wasn't really sure why anybody was suing over this.
Which title?
Yeah.
I was like, that was the Plaz.
That's right. Yeah.
And I was like, why? Like, just change the name. Like, pick another. It didn't seem like such a great concept that I would spend a lot of money battling it. But I read an issue, and it didn't work for me. And I think I sent it. Phil, didn't I send it? I sent it to somebody.
No, I already had them all, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But see, I don't know what Dark Dominion is, though.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with it either, but that to realize it was when I looked it up, that it's a 10-issue series, and then the Zero issue was never published in print, like in magazine form. The Zero issue is the cards.
Yeah. That is so weird. And it says, The River Group presents Jim Shooter's Dark Dominion. And then I'm like, well, you really have to get a lot of these cards.
I know. I can't wait to open it up.
Yeah,
what the heck is it going to be? Is it going to be a panel? Is it going to be a page? Like, what?
Yeah, what if you get the original Steve Ditko art in here?
Well, why I had to get it was when I saw the Steve Ditko was brought on as like a hired hand. I don't think this was his... dream project, because this is, 93, 94, so he's already doing his own jam. And I'm like, man, I'm a Steve Ditko guy, so Dark Dominion, here I come. All right, I opened my first pack. And, man, only... That's pretty chintzy. Two, five cards?
All right. Nine cards.
Nine.
Oh, mine must be all stuck together. Oh, they are. I swear, I just opened these up. I know everyone knows I love Steve Ditko, but there's a limit. All right. All right, I haven't read any of the Dark Dominion comics.
These are all Ditko-y. This is great. Ditko.
I believe when I looked it up, he did not do the comics after that. He was brought on for the design and the issue zero at the time. And I was like, oh, man, he's the man. Like, I want Steve Ditko everything. So how this hasn't been in those Kickstarters that he does. But mine seem to be like the design work. And some are the back part of a panel. So you like assemble these into a comic book.
Yeah, maybe we could try to assemble. Wait, do these assemble in more than one way? Because I noticed there's panels or pages or whatever you're going to call them on both sides.
Yeah, and there's things that are numbered.
Yeah, there are some cards that are character cards, it appears, where they have... They're like standard cards where it's a picture of the character, then the backside has information. Like a Substratum Archdemon, and Substrate Superhero. And then other ones are just... random panels, I guess we have to assemble.
But I have these ones that are obviously part of a three-card connection that would, like, go into your, binder sleeve that would do three side-by-side. But the one side is a middle, and the other side is an end. So you must be able to make multiple rearrangements, which is really interesting. That's cool.
Here's a funny thing about my pack. Considering my situation, I got a character, a little like dinosaur looking guy, and his name is Scat.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude. With this one character, it's the front of the card has this lady in a yellow suit with yellow boots having lunch with some guy, and the name is Butter, right? But on the back, the name is here's 90s for you. It's Sexualis, right? Since it's like sexual ICE, so it's like Alice and sexual. But it's like, what if the 90s were great for merging words, weren't they?
It must have taken some sort of patience to put this together, to be like, I'm out there, I'm swinging for the fences to get this. Now, I believe, as I always say with these things, they do have this, they did release like a binder, so you could buy a special album to hold your cards in.
Sure.
I would have collected this at the time if I knew about it, but most of my Defiant came from the dollar bin like years later.
So, yeah, I think it's interesting because certainly on eBay, there are purported claims where you can buy the complete set for $5 plus shipping. So.
Oh, for sure, because not many people would even know what any of this, relates to.
So I'm somewhat curious about maybe buying, I don't know, will Andy buy the set?
Be fun. I think it'd be fun because you like puzzles, I thought.
The album.
Because it'd be kind of fun putting them all together in the album, but you'd have to get the album.
But I do love the Steve Ditko art. I mean, that was why I was getting these things. Yeah. Cards themselves are, they're shiny, they're decent stock, better than those Liefeld image ones, but not as slick as some of the other.
The edges flake, though. The edges are a little flaked if you look at them, the way they're cut.
So I put them in, like, the middle tier of quality cards. Not the real cheapo, but not from, like, those... We've had some real nice ones from Impel, and like the big boys of trading cards, so to speak.
There's this one I've got with that's so Ditko Salvador Dali-ish that's got some type of big gourd with a spike sticking out of it, and there's some purple jelly ooze dripping all over it, and it's a cobblestone ground, and someone's running away in the distance, and there's another arc of with like thorns sticking out of the sides, just like sticking out. It's so Ditko-y, crazy, surreal. Ditko's so fun.
Well, I like the fun part because of the excerpts is it has like the dialogue, and it does feel like let the other one go and tie him down. Fear runs pure, and those whose lives are not already filled with suffering.
Yeah, I have a lot of like, suffering in mind too.
The news gets uglier every day, Irv.
Jim suffered for his work.
I do feel like maybe Steve had more input in this than some of those. It just feels like I have a close-up on one of the characters that does look right out of, like, Mr. A or whatever.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it almost looks like the enforcers in this one right here. And one guy's got the clamps. And he's like, continue working on him. You going now? And this guy's all tied up. Good Lord, Chasm is in the bowels tonight. Now I understand why Sal closed up. It's the next one, it seems pretty close. And it's like, take your time, Skinner. Let him contemplate the pain.
The limited edition lithograph that you can get that features all the six package fronts if you mail away. It's 7.5 inches by 19 inches on high quality rag paper. It's only $30 plus $5 postage and handling, or framed and matted for $50 plus $7 postage and handling. You just got to send a check or money order, allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery, and, Connecticut residents got to add 6% sales tax. And you do need to include your age and whether you're a male or female.
Well, that's kind of creepy. Why that? That's very creepy.
Like, also, you have to put like what you're wearing too, or what?
So we're guessing that frame is cardboard, right, guys?
I don't know. For another $20,
genuine plastic.
I guess one of these characters was named Peaches.
Oh, moving to the country. Eat a lot of
different commands. Like, I have the win a Steve Ditko original art card, how to collect and assemble the Zero issue.
What?
So they all have different little tips. And I see Steve's about order the Dark Dominion Zero issue album set. Yeah, maybe. Boy, I love all. Yeah, it's fun. They put these promotions on the card to order more stuff as well. And they're all different promotions. Yeah, you really got to buy. Yeah, I kept a whole bunch of these for myself, guys.
Nice.
I was like,
yeah, you got to get a complete. If you're anything short, let me know if I got the right card. I don't want your binder to have a missing cell.
Nine at a time. What a great time to be alive. 1994 must have been. I'll never know, boys.
You weren't living?
No, I was struggling to get by. Hard times in the poor factory, gentlemen.
You're not going to do a special theme or a segment where you're going to buy all comics that came out on one month during 1994 to see what came out?
No, I would go.
What you could have bought? What you would have bought?
And I don't have room for all that. 94 was still a crazy month, man.
Yeah.
I didn't want to buy 300 comics of 280 of them, or which ones I don't want to read. No, 94 had great books too. I know I goof on the 90s, but some of it is a little goofable. Now, as before, I sent people random other cards as well. So it's not just Dark Dominion. Now, it's been a while, so I don't remember what I sent people. So,
well, guess what you sent me?
I sent you a Valiant card, I bet.
Yes, the Valiant Era. A trading card history of the Valiant Universe through 1992.
Yeah, I think we opened these last time, but go ahead and rip that open, Kevin.
All right, that's what I got this time. Oh, if it's the same cards, I mean.
Well, how often did that happen, guys? You guys bought a lot of car. Like, sometimes you get doubles, but usually they mix it up.
Oh, looks like some Archer and Armstrong here.
Well, they're good.
Yeah, that's for sure. Magnus Robot Fighter, I think? Oh, he's fighting some kind of robot, as he likes to do. Issue 16.
So he's fighting robots, that guy.
I know, and then there's another... Oh, this is the Archer and Armstrong number 8, where there's a double-sized issue. If you... It actually combines Eternal Warrior number 8 and Archer and Armstrong number 8. Oh, this is one of those classic Solar ones now. Solar Man of the Atom number 4. Where some guy is reaching inside his stomach or whatever and all the energies are coming out.
Who owns those characters these days?
I thought I knew at some point. Like it was some company. Like some, oh boy. I know, like, someone could do something with them because it was like, oh, we bought all the Western Publishing or whatever it was called at that point. And what's this? Solar number 12?
Not number 12.
Another Solar. Wow, a lot of Solar on this one. Solar number 6.
Now, if memory serves, this was like a reputable card company.
Yeah, like, these are definitely... Yeah, these are,
Upper Deck? Yeah.
Yeah, because these are, like, you can tell they're higher quality, and then they have, like, the foil embossed stamp on them and everything.
Yeah, that was the old Upper Deck thing.
Yeah, so Eternal Warrior number 7, and then, oh, Harbinger number 11, which also has the Hardcore, or Corpse.
That was my favorite series at the time.
Now I should check if these are different than the ones I got before.
I think I might have sent you mine as well, Kevin. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So you've got...
Yeah, I think these are all... Yeah, yeah. It looks like I got 0 duplicates from the other ones, so that's good.
Nice, nice. Well on your way. Now, Super Steve, I think I... Did I send you, like, a Rocketeer, maybe?
You did. 8 glossy movie cards and 1 sticker from Topps. And as I opened up the pack, I noticed the... Always noticed the little offers, right? And this one, you can get a full-color Rocketeer collector's box complete with a silver foil seal with the... whole card set, all 99 cards, 11 stickers, and 22 bonus cards for $20.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this must have been when cards were still less than a buck to make something like that be worthwhile. But right on top is the sticker, and it's a great illustration of his... head with the logo and everything saying ready for action on a big checkerboard. What a great thing for my notebook or my, my school notebook or back when we used to make the paper bag book covers for our textbooks. This would have been sweet on one of them.
Slap it on your lunchbox.
And then there's 8 nice cardboard cards with scenes that I don't necessarily know if I'd choose to make a card of some of these shots, but and then it, you know, on the back, like the old movies cards used to do, is it would tell the story of the movie. Kind of neat.
Yeah, these are more the style because as a kid I got the Star Wars ones.
Yeah, oh yeah. Course.
So that's why I was like, oh, Rocketeer movie cards, like that's pretty cool. And they look square. I mean, I don't know when they stopped putting that terrible gum in the cards.
But... Right, right. This is post-gum, fortunately. You know, Andrew, when there was a movie you liked, unless it was going to be shown on TV years later, you know, we didn't have, VCRs were just starting to come out where you could record things, and HBO was just you know, it wasn't even 24 hours back when we first got it. It was only on at night, for Pete's sake. And the only way you could relive the movies that you liked was if you got the card set that told the story in the back and had the images. Or sometimes when you went to like opening night of a movie, there would be like a program that would have pictures, or you could get like the movie magazine kind of thing that would be like a souvenir magazine of like the making of the movie, like Starlog would put them out sometimes, right? That kind of thing. And then you would maybe the like prose adaption would that you would get like in like Walden Books or B. Dalton Bookseller while your mother was clothes shopping in the mall or something. And if you were lucky, you would have a nice fat middle section of glossy color images from the movie where you could see scenes and stuff, or the comic book adaptation. But that's really all we had of ways to be able to slow down time and relive images from movies that we dug back then, whether they were Bond movies or and the TV shows too. Heck, I think I even had like Mork and Mindy cards and thing like that, you know, all kinds of things.
Tell us next that you used to walk 6 miles to school through the snow.
I remember setting up the cards against the stairs and tossing the card to see how many you could knock down. I don't know if you ever did that.
We used to do a face-up, face-down thing, or whether you covered up the other guy's card with sports cards, and they were, like, ways that you, like, got the other guy's card.
Yeah, this was a kind, like, yeah, it was a way of, you had them all set up, and how many you could knock down with throwing another one, like, you know, like magicians throw playing cards or whatever. It was fun.
Sure. Like, bullseye.
Do you guys have a favorite set of cards that's not Marvel or DC that you collected as a kid?
Just the Star Wars ones for me, the movie Star Wars movie cards.
I mean, I have some Ninja Turtle ones.
Me, when I was young, it was probably the Wacky Packs, I think they were called. The, like, fake grocery.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, those and the Garbage Pail Kids, probably. Or not Garbage. Yeah, Garbage Pail. Yeah, that's right. Because it came with the little figure in the garbage bag you threw in water, and then it would dissolve.
Faux shizzle.
All right, did I send anyone else some other cards? I don't remember.
Well, I don't know if you want me to open any of these DC Bloodlines.
Do it, baby. Oh, I saved myself one, too.
Let me see. 8 cards. Only 8? Jeez, you're getting even cheaper.
I saved a set of the Skybox DC Bloodlines. 8 cards. Phil, I know, already opened one of his. Listen to that crackle and crunch.
What is this I have? What? Deadly Genesis?
Mongrel.
You're supposed to, I guess, to the back of these, you form an image too, because it's really zoomed in. I can't even tell what this thing is.
It's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
That was the Star Wars one, had a big image you could put together. But I did get the Mongrel power card, which gives his history.
Huh. Well, I'm not quite sure. This is supposed to be a Bloodlines card, but a spaceship heading into some strange cosmic phenomenon doesn't really show, you can't really tell this is a DC thing. I don't know, Deadly Genesis?
The bad guys in Bloodlines are aliens.
So yeah, part of it is that design aesthetic of the 90s. Like, Mongrel has an overcoat and torn jeans, and fingerless gloves and boots.
This is not a
superhero, super villain outfit. It's like,
yeah, he became Hawkman's.
It's put a little. I do like the earrings. That part's cool. But the torn jeans with the rat tatty overcoat. It's just not. Although the fingerless gloves, you know, are those ever not in style?
So is Blood Magic a guy, or is that the name of the card? I can't tell. It's the 90s.
Yeah, I have a bunch with images. I don't think I'm going to put this puzzle together with only 4 of them.
Lionheart, Battleground Zero. I don't know. It looks like the Manhattan Guardian fighting robots from North AM, Magnus Robot Fighter. Oh, look at this. I got some kind of foil card. I guess this makes sense. It's the Man of Steel, so it's steel, and he's all foiled up.
Odds of finding limited edition foil embossed Superman cards are 1 in 18 packs.
Whoa! Odds of
finding Superman exchange cards are 1 in 72.
How about that? Oh, and I got a checklist.
You always get the checklist, Kevin.
I know, you're like, oh, is that one of my cards? That should be a bonus. I got Flash and Argus, Race to Action. There's a guy called Argus?
I wonder if he worked for this Prism. What I don't like about these, though, I will say, is Skybox really puts a big logo on them. Like, it's the same size as the DC logo. But I guess...
Oh.
I also didn't really care who the card manufacturer was, but I guess if you're loyal to Skybox...
Oh, you're going to like this, Andrew. Valor. Isn't that like a law, Legion of Superheroes thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Warriors.
And then
United.
It says Valor in a jam. They trademarked jam.
He's one of my
the two M's because you know jam. That's going to be the breakout hit of what is this 1992 or something?
Well, some of these might end up in Phil's next package. So,
dude, the other pack you sent me was another pack of those Mike Ploog cards.
Yeah, I got one of those too. I'm looking at them right now. 94. Awesome. I don't know who he is.
Oh my gosh, they're so good. They're from FPG, who still publishes Ploog stuff. I think it is Ploog. And the quality of the cards is amazing. The images are sick.
I got some awesome horror ones. Like you get, Baba Yaga, Dracula.
I got the werewolf on the front of one of mine. The front has the beautiful color, glossy image, and then the back has a description from the artist himself and a smaller sketch. That's kind of cool to see. And I know Bernie Wrightson had a set at this time published by FPG also, and they just did a Kickstarter, and the book is, I think, already printed for the the proceeds going to his family of reprinting that card set for Wrightson. And I think Ploog has reprinted a bunch of this stuff in his Art of Mike Ploog Volumes 1 and 2, which I think he also did Kickstarters for. These are sweet.
This is a set I would buy if they had the complete good price.
You know, what set I liked as a kid, too, of, like, TV shows and things was I had the Buck Rogers and the 25th Century card set.
Ooh, I would have liked those. I did like that Buck Rogers
show. Those are good. Yeah.
Always had a crush on that Aaron Gray who played Wilma Deering.
Of course. And, the Star Wars ones are great. Well, hey, Andrew, do you remember the stickers that were the Marvel stickers with the, like, stupid Stan-like patter on them? You know, like, it'd be like the man... It made me think of seeing the Ploog, like, they would have the Ploog man thing and saying something like, I just dropped the soap in the shower or something stupid like that. It's sort of fun.
Yeah, it's when... It's,
these are great.
I'm glad this hasn't blown up either, too. Like, you can still buy these things, like, and have fun, and it's not like you're mortgaging your child's college tuition fund or anything. Like, so much with our hobby now, where it's like everything's really expensive.
Yeah, around when Marvel and DC were doing their cards in the 90s, when they made their big push before, you know, almost going the way of comic books there. I got some cool sets then at the time too, like the Monty Python cards and a bunch of Star Trek ones, like Next Generation and from like some of the later stuff. There was definitely good card sets made of all kinds of different
Wizard
things.
Wizard Magazine had a ton of cards like extra that they throw in those poly bags too.
Remember there were X-File cards at the time that were kind of popular, and it was cool that they had a revival of, like, even the media versions of cards and stuff.
Well, I think I remember the stuff like Kevin talking about, where they're, like four cards kind of stapled in the middle of the thing, and you kind of popped them out of the cardboard, so to speak.
Yep.
Those tended not to be high quality of memory. though. All right, there's some silliness for everybody. Thanks for playing along, both in your respective headquarters and at home. Yeah, maybe we'll do some more weird card business further down the road. But I'll have to replenish my stores. But should we talk some comic books, gentlemen?
Sure, I got another comic one for books. You. I got some old, grizzled, man, gritty comics.
Well, we'll get to that, but let's let Super Steve step up to the mic to encourage him to show up more often.
All right, I got another for you. It's all like, thinking like what are indie comics these days? Is really the self-publishing world, whether it's through web comics or through crowdfunding, it really has let so many different independent creators do their indie thing and reach a wider variety as eyes they can catch and hold. And then also you've got comic book, established comic book creators doing their own thing on the side to self-publishing. And that's what I have here is a self-contained, square-bound trade paperback style graphic novel called Wrath of God. No, make that Wraith of God.
Oh, I was going to say the Magic the Gathering card?
And it's Aaron Lopresti, who's worked for both Marvel and DC for decades as the creator, writer, and illustrator. And it is lushly illustrated, and the coloring is really nice, too. I should mention that the colorer is Gabe Eltiab. But it is a Western horror book, which is always a nice combination, right? Because the Western frontier has its remoteness between town to towns, and communications are cut off, and things can happen over the hill that you don't know about, and plenty of people hiding and places to hide and pasts to hide, etc. This has a cowboy Zorro type, but he's masked too and all in black, and he's a total badass, and he's a agent of God, like supposedly, or is he? And he's hunting down a coven of werewolves in the Wild West in a sleepy little town, and there are secrets, and there's accomplices, and there are mysteries. There's a stagecoach that comes into town, and which one is the one that's the werewolf, that kind of thing, and he's got to figure it out. Really cool character, really cool backdrop, really well illustrated. I really enjoyed this. He's calling his imprint Empire Comics, and it was through Indiegogo, and he has the second book of the Wraith of God as a campaign right now. This is really good stuff.
I think I jumped on Indiegogo a long time ago, but I'm now just Kickstarter. I don't like how they're, like, your pledge is gone even if the person doesn't make their goal set up. Always makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, this and had more than met its goal. I wasn't doing this as a, Indiegogo supporter as much it was because of the work, and that's where it was available.
You haven't moved on to Zoop yet?
If the Wraith of God moves to Zook, I'm there. This is really good stuff. My only complaint is there isn't a cheaper digital version, but it is a really nice package. It's really well printed, and the coloring is really nice. This is really cool. Really intriguing story. Maybe immediately want to get the second one when I read the first. Aaron Lopresti.
All right, Kevin. And at your recommendation, I picked up this book as well.
Which one?
The one you talked about, a crusty old...
is it Bloodshot?
No, he's not the crusty old.
Okay. There's so old the other in the title, crusty perhaps? Old guy. So, old dog, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's kind of a TCAF thing. You're like, well, you know the art's going to be good. So, I mean, that's kind of enough to try it out, right? But I already knew from time after time that Declan Shelby pulls in some quality talent and does good on his own. So, I mean, how could I not try out Old Dog?
Yep.
Clayton Cowles.
I'm more skeptical than you are, Kevin. I really hate how the summary and the inside, they should say don't read it because
yeah,
it's the entire issue. And that pissed me. Like, don't. So basically you're going to tell me everything that happens in this issue in a paragraph. Like, that's not cool, man.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of a weird choice. You know what I had a problem with? They have that quote there by Jack Lynch, and I kept on thinking of Wildstorm. I'm like, is it John Lynch? I'm like, who's the guy from that? I kept on thinking, I'm like, is this secretly a Wildstorm book?
That would have been, I would have been fine with that. I also, okay, you know, like, I get this because a co-host is getting it, and I'm like, all right, I've enjoyed a lot of Declan Shalvey's work, but
yeah.
Man, like, the four references to Old Dog in the book could have just had one. Like, we don't... I get it. That's his name, and he's going to learn new tricks. You don't need to beat me over the head with it every single time.
That's just what old dogs do. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Like, it's some corny movie. Second of all, they do a split with the time. Which I thought
I knew
added
you were gonna
nothing
mention
to
that.
The book. I don't really hate it. I just think, what does this add to the book? Like, is it a better experience because of it?
I don't know. Me, it tell us, do is anything. It? If they changed the order, would you have a worse experience?
I think I would have had a better experience if they changed the order. So basically, chronologically speaking, we have a disgraced agent, an older man, on his way out.
Yeah.
Because also the other thing is with all the time shifting and everything, there's a huge jump of time. There are two concurrent storylines going on. And it involves the same character, but he looks different.
He does.
So I guess that's a point where you're like, oh my God, that was that guy all along. Works for Kevin, didn't work for me.
I mean, I did go, oh my God, it was that guy.
Yeah, I know. That's why you're on board and I'm not. So the disgraced agent, fine, that's fine, on a babysitting job that goes south. And he's already had some jobs go south.
Yeah, it looks like he's had a rough go at it. And, you know, you want to stay in the game, though. So I guess you do some things you're not...
So, you know, no one likes these babysitting jobs, but suddenly it goes wrong and there's a problem. They do that predominant color palette to distinguish the two storylines.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote modern story has a bit more color. Still not that much. And the other one has sort of a blue-green wash over it. So his team gets killed and they have like, yo, you wait in the van, Jimmy. Well, old dog, you wait in the van. And so when they don't check in, he goes to follow up. And, like, his partner's dying, and he's like, you got to stop him. And he goes, and the bad guy is mucking with a piece of technology.
Yeah, and that's a really good sequence.
The next part that's completely unbelievable is old dog goes and is like, freeze or I'll shoot. Like, clearly, he just murdered all your partners, and... You're still the straight-up guy who's not going to shoot first, the guy that murdered your part. Like, that kind of hokey, I guess we're supposed to believe he's just that good kind of thing, doesn't seem like a very realistic characterization to me. Like, wouldn't the grizzled old guy who just had his partners murdered shoot this dude first?
He's got to let old dogs die.
Yeah, he's got to, you know, be fair and a straight shooter. So, in a colorful sequence of a double page spread, to prevent the guy getting away, he shoots the giant tech, and it blows up everywhere, and lots of added effects are put on the screen. And I say screen because this looks like it was digitally manipulated.
It does.
Again, not my jam. I feel like that's okay. It just kind of, for me personally, got beat to death with those vibrational effects that were popular maybe 10 years ago and still get used. So he wakes up and he's been modified and changed because he was in the explosion.
And now he's new dog.
Yeah. Now he's going to be part of the Black Ops group. And some of this is spoiler, but it's all spoiled in the opening paragraph on the inside page. So there's no real spoilers to it. And then you find out that in the other sequence, that's him running around. Oh my gosh. And now he's teamed with his daughter, who's now an adult and is missing her dad. And so there's your issue number one. And if any of you guys want it, I will throw it in the pile for my next shipment to you guys. I'm out.
I mean, when the Old Dog movie comes out and you have two copies, I mean, that's going to be good.
An Old Dog movie.
Now, I feel like this is a lot of setup, too. So, I mean, the art is strong. So, I'm definitely reading another issue or another few issues, you know.
Good.
See where this goes.
I like the split in the circuit. Kevin's on board. I am all the way off.
And Andrew, it's not a self-cover. Like, that is some paper stock there on that cover.
Yes. Well, I'm curious if the second issue will also spoil the content.
So am I. I'll report back.
Is it like the summary for the review recaps? Like, you don't need to read the issue. Just open this up and you can spin out the story.
Well, it's funny because it says, like, they have redacted sections, but I'm like, I don't know. There probably wasn't enough redacted in this thing.
No. Now, that would have been funny if they had redacted. I assume they're going to just repeat this in every issue.
I guess. I won't read them then.
It's the way, I mean, a different quote or whatever, but that way,
yeah.
This is the log line for someone who's flipping on the shelves and buying it. They can flip it open and see, oh, this is what this is. Black Ops, former CIA, disgraced guy with one last chance to learn some new tricks to salvage his reputation and his family. Although there's the added gut punch of we thought that his family was killed in the original one. So somehow his family was not killed, because that's a big point about he's this crusty old guy with nothing left to live for.
Yeah, I think reading the first issue of The Time After Time, that had more tricks and variety to it than Old Dog, which is playing on some old tricks.
Yeah, well, you need to learn those new tricks, Kevin.
Do I, though?
The magic was inside you all along. All right. I know Phil's got some kind of classic 80s thing to bring to the table. I think Phil might be taking care of his dog.
Sorry. I'm here. I don't have 80s stuff today. I have some manga.
Oh, no. Nice. Oh. Yeah.
We like and that. I looked up reviews on the Deadpool one I talked about last time. And for some reason, people like it. So I don't know what's going on.
Huh.
So I thought it was trash, but and then I tried Keiju number 8. You must know that one, Kevin.
His name seems familiar.
Yeah, I got really bored, though. I think it's popular, but I got really bored, so I didn't finish it. But I did get these two volumes of one I loved, and it's called The Weakest Contestant of All Space and Time.
I like how you get two volumes.
Well, that's all they had out.
I mean, not one volume, not 10 volumes. But two volumes.
Well, just the name caught me. So if they had 12 volumes there, I would have got them all probably.
Oh, that is geez. A cool name. I got to say, it's very evocative.
Yeah. And basically it's about all these gods get together and they all pick from their universe the weakest being or whatever they have. So, and then they'll all fight and the ones that die, they end up coming back to life and they're the winners, you know, kind of like whoever does the worst. So they'll be like the main character, basically there's a main character from Earth and he's part of the bottom five by the end, which is him. There's a guy called Tofu Brat who's just a kid that carries around a plate of tofu. There's this giant caterpillar that is scared of everything, so it just faints and pukes. Then there's a, you know, like in video games, that slime that you'll fight at the beginning or whatever. Like there's a thing of slime.
A mutagen.
And a robot that's just a vacuum cleaner. And so basically they end up escaping by accident, and they end up landing on a world where now if they get killed, they die forever. So they have to escape the other contestants. And it's like, it'll be like one of the contestants will be like Casper the Ghost or a little tank that can't turn right. So like they're all useless type characters. And it's just a lot of fun seeing who chases them and the relationship with these characters trying to survive. And I had as much fun with this one as I did Chainsaw Man there I talked about. But this one's not like violent or anything like that. It's it's a lot of fun. But for me, this would be like if they put out one more volume and that was it, I'd probably be happy. Like, I don't know if I want to read this for volume upon volume, which I'm sure they'll do.
That's what that can happen with some of these manga volumes that I've seen is like you can really enjoy the concept and the joke, but then it's just the same joke over and over again, which can be pleasant for a while, but then it just becomes...
But no, this one, it's they don't really do jokes over anything like that. They do a good job of keeping it fresh, like, but and just like the slime character starts to evolve, and just the character work they do with the slime is really good. Some of the emotional moments and stuff. But yeah, this is a high recommend for me. But you haven't heard of this one, Kev?
So it's no, who's the publisher of this?
This one's Seven Seas.
Oh, Seven Seas. I don't usually pick up any stuff from them. That would make sense.
I get quite a bit from Seven Seas.
I'm just looking at the cover of Volume 1. There's some fan service there for you, Phil.
That's that's what the slime ends up turning into eventually. But the caterpillar is one of my favorite parts because the poor guy has to carry it around everywhere because it's always fainted. Until the end of the second volume, that's the first time you like see it awake. So they're constantly just carrying it around.
Nice.
All right. Steve, you want to send us out or are we good?
Well, if that was a dare, I'll give you a quickie. How about?
Sounds good to me.
This one was a Kickstarter, but now it's starting to become available elsewhere. It is from Tony Fleeks, but written by Tony Fleeks, with art by Christian Messi. The layouts were by Tone Rodriguez underneath Messi. And this is a oversized hardcover OGN, like, you know, the European model, basically, self-contained story called Time Shopper.
Oh, I have a bookmark for this comic, strangely enough, from one of the shows. I must have gotten from Tony or somebody. Yeah,
there you go. Their character, Carl, is like a hire to do a chore or a job or an errand, run an errand service in the future. And he gets hired to sort of be like a quantum leap kind of a thing. Like you could go back in time. You have this safe full of an unlimited amount of money of all the different currencies that you can use. And you'll go to these different important times in history and, you know, like do the right thing, right? You know, kill Hitler, that kind of thing when he's a baby, right? The classics. But he's not a killer, this guy. And he's traveling time with a safe full of an unlimited source of money. And he, you know, it's kind of like being on the Home Shopping Network, but having time as your mall. So he's bouncing around time, getting all these rare, awesome things. Like he'll go to Pompeii before the volcano goes off and like buy some rugs and some, you know, goes to the Titanic and has an unbelievable dinner in their main dining hall, knowing that he's not going to have to pay for it or stick around, that kind of thing, because he knows the outcome. And he can do some good along the way. And then there is a robotic a floating robot. Don't you love floating robots? Floating robot agent who is chasing him down because he's misbehaving through time. So it's a fun romp. The character design is good. The storytelling visually and script-wise is solid. Mine's got a little sketch in it from Tony and Christian. So very cool. Time Shopper.
Nice, nice. All right. Well, that's a good episode. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Hopefully we can lure people back time and time again. So stay safe, everyone. You'll hear from us soon. Sooner than you think. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It's getting near Halloween at some point, so I gotta start working the spooky content in to balance the summer breeze content. Because it is still hot here in Southern California.
Yeah, let's read some horror books.
Thanks, everybody.
Later.
today we're a little top-heavy as normal, as our two North American hosts are here today, entertaining me and you, Andrew the LA Rabbit, here in Los Angeles, where it's always hot, no matter the time of year or time of day. But up north, from the Arctic Circle, from the icebox,
where it's always cold,
WWX Kev, with a big log on the fire and some hot cocoa. How you doing, Kev?
Yeah, it's fall, and you can tell. I don't know about Phil's situation. Maybe he's still swimming. No. Yeah, he's an otter. Yeah, he's swimming on the Rideau Canal, right?
Dialing in from the nation's capital, the fully fortified otter den. It's Phil Otterwater. Hey, Phil, how's things happening in the capital?
Don't break my fucking heart today, Andrew, and tell me we're not opening a pack of fucking cards. Because I've waited 3 episodes now.
If you can get sign-off from Justin Trudeau, I think it's possible.
He said it's okay. We can open one pack.
You can open the DC Comics pack.
Indie Comic Noise, part of the Deliberate Noise Network, home of awesome podcasts like our sister show, Marvel Noise, where you'll hear us, and sometimes host Super Steve, who's away battling some Marvel Comics-related nonsense. But we here at Indie keep pristine show notes on our website. Well, at least pristine when they get sent from me to Kevin. I take no responsibility when Kevin posts those. You can find old episodes there too, indiecomicbooknoise.com. Find the show on Twitter, IndieComicBookN. As everyone knows, we have no sponsors. It's just a wild free-for-all chit-chat about what strikes our fancy in the indie comic book realm.
No controversy here, right, Andrew?
No controversy. We want everyone to be happy.
Or at least I saw on Twitter? Greatest Twitter ad I saw yesterday. It was about printing out your NFTs. My head just about exploded.
Yeah. Well, that way you know you own it, Kevin. If you have a printout of it.
But anyone else can just print out your NFTs also. So, I mean...
What's an NFT? This is sport? A new sport? I can't handle any more sports.
It's just some weird hustle where you can buy some virtual reality thing.
Yeah.
With real like cash games. Money.
It's like iPhone games, basically.
It's usually an image or like maybe a short little video clip or something like that. Okay. Except you don't have exclusive viewing rights to it. You just quote-unquote own it. So other people can still look at it and make copies of it, but you own the real one in whatever that means.
So Kevin probably buys a lot of little cat ones.
I'm hoping Kevin's out creating little cat ones.
Wow.
But yeah, no we don't
use the Bitcoin to buy the NFTs.
Well, that Bitcoin's big money. People make good money, I guess. I don't know. Look, I'm not a cryptocurrency guy. I hope all you crypto traders out there are doing awesome. It's just not my jam. I'm having a hard enough time getting into digital comics.
Yeah.
Still? I thought you were the digital guy now.
It's never going to get easy for us. No, we're just forced into it.
Yeah. It's hard.
Forced into keeping up.
Well, and also saving space. It's a big reason why I do it.
I mean, I recently thought about space. Yeah, I mean, the struggle is real.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies to listeners out there. There is some kind of crazy birds and nonsense happening outside, but given the scorching temperatures, I don't really feel like insing myself with shut windows.
I mean, maybe you should open the window, let them inside, and give them some water or something if it's that hot.
Those birds can go hang. As we said, as long as the temperatures are boiling, the summer breeze is blowing. So the series will continue. And given the way the temperatures are going, our summer breeze is going to last until December.
It will be a breeze, but it'll be a winter's chill by that point.
Not down here, man. Ridiculous. You know what? We're going to let it happen. I sent out some cards, was hoping to have the full four-man squad to do another card opening episode, but we're just going to do a little special dispensation to Phil. Phil, what do you want to open up?
Well, honestly, the one I want to open up the most is Dark Dominion. But I'm good for anyone if you want to save certain ones for Steve.
Yeah, maybe we should save Dark, because we all have that. But how do you feel about DC Bloodlines, Phil?
Yeah, well, I read all those. I have them. So I'm up for that.
So like before, for past DC, listeners, I sent out a bunch of unopened cards from the 90s. In this instance, Phil got one of the DC Bloodlines trading cards.
And basically, Bloodlines was their event in the summer where it was all their annuals. And everyone introduced a new character, like hero or villain maybe, but they were all bitten by these aliens, and it gave them that power. The most popular one that had a long-running series was Hitman. I'm sure you guys know.
I thought they were all very popular.
Yeah.
It went all on to long-running series.
I thought that's how Superman and Batman were introduced into the DC.
No, the only one that made it really was Hitman. Like, a few others had some series, but nothing big like his. Like, he was an actual popular character. Where the other ones, like, there were some good ones for sure. Like, some were stinkers, some were good. The overall storyline with the aliens was, nothing special. But they did introduce some neat characters. But for me, like, that's the only one that comes to my head that I really liked was Hitman. But I know there was a few others I enjoyed.
Well, I suppose we're going to find out which ones you got, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Crack that bad boy open.
Yeah. All right, what do we get here? So I got the Titans.
That's a new character, the Titans?
Nope. Here's Knights and Warriors, which was in Justice League Europe. It's like a knight type character. The Titans one, I can't really tell. It's just them fighting. It says Titans Clash. Then I have one of some of the aliens that give them the powers. I'm really hoping for a Hitman here. Then there's a Hawkman one versus Mongrel. That's one I think I enjoyed. I actually am reading that Hawkman series again right now. So I will get to that character, because I think from the annual he ended up being a villain in his comic a bit. Yeah, so far, like, then I have, like, Cyborg Superman. So I have a lot of
Cyborg Martian Manhunter.
That's one you have? But overall, these are fun. Like, but this is not a series that deserves a card series, you know?
I mean, it was the 90s.
Well, for those of you interested, obviously this is going to date the show or whatever, but looks like on eBay, for about $15, including shipping, you can get the set of 81 cards.
So, yeah.
Wow.
These might not have held their value quite as much as I was
I don't think these ever had value. I did get a special one, I think, where it's one of the main aliens, and you flip it over and it shows you their human form. And the front is their alien form. Where all the other ones on the back, it looks like it makes puzzles, except for one I got, Loose Cannon, which was a character card, and it has the stats on the back. So I kind of like that, how different ones have different types of back, you know? You got your stats, you got the puzzle pieces, and then the alien flip card. But this is better than that image one, the Rob Liefeld one.
The image one was very confusing.
Yeah, like these aren't just close-ups or I think these are original art. I could be wrong, but
I think, or at least it's not some random piece of a page.
But at least there's a bit more thought into it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Skybox is a proper regular old company, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, hard to believe I was able to get these
Super Mario.
Considering you now, maybe the chase cards are super expensive. I don't know, but it looks like you can snap these up pretty good on the cheap if anyone is hankering for it.
Yeah, I can't see anyone that would be fond of the Bloodline series unless it was for the first appearance of Hitman. You know, like that's the only collectible thing from that series, really.
I don't know. Maybe someone has some nostalgia for Bloodlines.
Can you name one other character?
Albus Cannon.
Fine. I said that one, though. No, can you name
yes.
the next one?
Yeah. It's
It
does seem like such a random kind of... I mean, I guess like they're launching them and they want these new guys to really be a thing. But you're right, Phil. It seems like such an arbitrary, like... people are tired of like the established DC characters. I mean, they did slide in. I'm seeing, like you said, they got Cyborg, Superman, and some of the regular cats in there as well. But man, how do you do cards and not have half of them be part of the Bat family or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, modern DC wouldn't make that mistake from what I can tell from their lineup. It's all Batman all the time.
Yeah, well, at this time, is this when Batman's back is broken?
93? Right around then, yeah.
Yeah, the Superman.
Oh, about there, yeah. So maybe that could be why he's not as present in these cards. Because Superman's gone at this point, and then it would have been Batman next, right?
I think I might pull the plug on this one, guys. I might do this as a mini episode.
Is causing confusion.